What's up, guys? Wanted to share really kind of a neat lesson and experience that I had that I'm hoping inspires you to continue to share your ideas. So this last week was a Funnel Hacking Live virtual, which is the first time they ever did a virtual one. It was really cool. People who were in Russell's inner circle and programs were able to come in person in the studio where they were filming it. So it was really interesting. You know, it was at Eric Worre's studio, which is awesome. I mean, I built my own studio, but I mean, studio is the right word for mine. His was an event center. You know what I'm saying? It's like, those are two different things. That's why I'm always careful to call mine. No, it's an event studio, and it's perfect for the size and the word and the meaning of the word studio. Eric Worre's was just gorgeous. My gosh, it was beautiful. So they had, I think there's about 200 or 300 of us in person. I go 200. 200 of us in person. And then I saw backstage, they had 60 computers linked together just to handle all the Zoom rooms. I mean, literally, I counted them. It's actually 60 computers linked together. And then that was not counting all the other computers that were running the AV and running video. And I mean, it was quite the technological operation. I mean, it was very, very, very impressive to see what they had built in there. It was cool because I saw back there on one of the computers, there was, I think, like almost 6,000 people live, like on at the same time and watching. So 200 in person, 6,000 streaming virtually. And there's a lot of people, you know. This might come out a little bit conceited. That's not meant to be. So just stick with me for a second, all right? So within like 10 minutes of walking in, I had the first person walk up and say, you know, hey, I want some help. What I want you to do, Steve, you've been in the space for 10 years now. Like, could I just sit down with you, dump all my ideas out, and you help organize them? And I was like, yeah, that I understand why that's valuable. Like, you know, because you have to understand, like, I was telling someone else there at this during a break, this very same thing. I was like, think about, I'm going to talk about myself for a second here, but there's a big point to it, and there's a really interesting thing that happened at the end. All right, there's my hook. Okay. When I left ClickFunnels, I didn't want to be a funnel guy because I didn't want to compete. I didn't want to create anything competing, but I wanted to stay in the funnel space, you know? So I was like, well, I don't want to go do funnel stuff. So I instead became the offer dude, which is funny because I was the funnel guy. Right. So I learned a lot about offer method and strategies, different formulas, what offer types work well, and high ticket, low ticket, mid ticket, free stuff, or even the fact that you're trying to get someone to register for a webinar or a challenge. That's still an offer, even though they're not buying anything. Right. It's still an offer. So I went really deep on offers, and I did that for like 2 or 3 years. But what started happening was all these people, now they're following what I was saying. They're like, sweet, Steve, I got an offer. Finally, how do I launch it? And I was like, just a second. I'll be back in 2 or 3 years. Right. And I kind of became offer launch guy, which is where the offer launch event came from. And I went super deep into launch methods, launch methodologies. That's where the original research for dramatic demonstrations even came from, was me going through a lot of launching formulas, both living and dead. And I was like, this is how you launch. And then what happened is people are like, sweet, I have an offer now, and now I know how to launch it. Steve, how do I get leads? And I'm like, just a second, I'll be back in 2 or 3 years, right? And I went super deep on the lead stuff, which is why, like, now I've been teaching lead flow, how to get daily leads, right? Which is like truly the kingpin skill, right? To just, if you can't get leads, you're dead, right? So, and then people are like, sweet, Steve, I can get leads. I've got an offer. I know how to launch. How do I build funnel? And I'm like, just a second. How about we go do this thing? And so what I've been doing is this program called Sales Funnel Officer. And I've been taking a small group of people through basically every funnel that I believe their business should have. Like the four core offers that every business usually needs requires four core funnels. And so that's what I've been building out with them. And I'm not building them, but I'm guiding them as they build them. And it's been such a fun, unique program. And it's funny, that's why I ended up creating my program called Titans of Industry. Now, I'm telling you this because I want you to understand the back thought as I tell you this story, all right? I went in and I started building all this stuff and to just serve whatever the needs of the market were. Titans of Industry is interesting, though, because it allows me to improv. I mean, I've just done so much stuff in this space now that, you know, at kind of a unique level, I guess, that sometimes it's been challenging for me to know, like, what to lead to the market with. I'm like, look, it's funny, because I'll go to the funnel space, I'll be like, hey, I'll help you with your funnels. And funnel space is like, I already know funnels. And I'm like, I guarantee you I can improve your performance of your funnel. Just spend half a day with me, right? But selling funnels to a funnel space, right, it's kind of like selling... I love that analogy when people say, it's like selling ice to Eskimo. I'm like, first of all, that's a stupid Eskimo because it's probably all around them unless there's some other value prop. You know what I mean? So I hate that analogy. But that's kind of what it's like. It's like going to the funnel space to help with funnels is like saying, hey, Eskimo, ever heard of ice? It's like, what? I got to change the audience. So I've been using my stuff on places outside of funnel land. Some people are saying, where did Steve go? I'm back. I just haven't been doing a lot in the funnel space because that's what I run into. Right? So what's been interesting for me to notice... Going back to Funnel Hacking Live. What's been interesting for me to notice is walking back into... Like, the only people who were allowed to come physically to FHL this year were, you know, the people who are honestly heavy hitters, all right? And it's been funny because within 10 minutes, someone's like, you've been in the space long enough. I just need a brain dump on you. And then you organize my thoughts and help me see what I don't see. I was like, sweet. And then the next person did that. And then the next person did that. There were like four people in the first real quick of walking into that space. And I was like, huh. And what I've been starting to notice is that like what I do in my stuff has finally come to a spot where the next tier of businesses is like, wait, we need that. Does that make sense? I'm saying this because sometimes people don't know. There's two major points I'm trying to make on this point in this episode. Right? The first is if you're like, hey, I don't totally understand where my dream customer is yet. I don't totally understand where my market is, but I've got something of value. It could be that you're also trying to figure out how to get them to raise their hand. Like when they see you, they're like, oh, no, that is interesting. Right. And that's really what that's what the offer hook formula is that I created is to help people get to do that. So I've been using that and now it's been working. And people are like, please, let me just spend half a day with you. I'm going to brain dump everything on you and then just help me organize it. And that I expected it would happen like, you know, once or whatever, but it happened so many times at FHL that I kind of lost track of all the people, and I've been trying to remember who each person was so that I can follow back up with them. And I was like, huh. Someone said, we all know Russell's most likely unreachable. You're like the next best thing who's more available. And I was like, thank you. Like, should I be less available? I feel like I'm becoming more available again. So anyway, no, but I get what they're saying. So sharing your ideas is with someone who's either obsessively thinking about those ideas like you are, or someone who's just further on the journey, I have found to just be one of the fastest. I don't really believe in shortcuts, but it's a shortcut. You know, it's a, or maybe not shortcut. It's it increases your speed. It collapses time. It makes you skip across the path instead of walk on it. You know, it's like getting in a plane versus walking. And I love this principle. So I'm going to transition to the second part here and then tie it into a little bow. All right. So there's a group of us that like to get together and just share really deep ideas and discuss them. And it sounds, I don't know, that might sound weird, but the stuff that comes out of these rooms is absolutely mind-blowing. So a group of us got together and we went to one of their Airbnbs. They didn't, you know, they're staying at Airbnb instead of a hotel, and staying in an Airbnb right next to the venue and where FHL was. And it was Brad Gibb, Annie Grace, Josh Forty, Taylor Welch, obviously Marley, myself, Eileen Wilder, let's see, I'm trying to remember who else. And what we all did, I didn't realize for the first few minutes that this was something that was planned. And we were all kind of brought together to just discuss really, like, honestly, like, the world's problems. And I'm not at all saying, like, we're the ones that are going to solve everything. But if there's no discussion happening around problems, then they're going to remain a problem. And so what happened that evening was very special. And we didn't sleep very much the night before, so we didn't stay super late. But we started discussing, like, and like using research, not opinion, you know, just massive issues. And what would happen is each one of us just opened up. So we each took a turn on the floor basically and said, this is the topic I want to talk about. This is the topic I'm obsessed about and could discuss for hours without tracking time. And we just let the person unload. Total full nerd. And it was the coolest thing to have all of, like, these peers and colleagues of mine just pick at certain parts of it and pull it out and expound on it and piece it. I mean, it was like brain candy I can't explain. You know, true mastermind. And just as Napoleon Hill said, right, if two of you are discussing something, the third mind, which is the mastermind, shows up with insights. And it's interesting because now there's, like, plans, you know, there's, like, we're like, anyway, let me go full circle then on this, right? So I walked in FHL and people are like, can I pick your brain? I just want a brain dump to help sort thought. I was like, yeah, that's totally why I went back to ClickFunnels as a fractional CMO, for that exact reason. Russell's like, for some reason, you can hear my thoughts, organize them, and then put them out to my team, right? Or other business owners will have me do it. Like, I'm doing three of them next week. If you're interested, let me know, by the way. TitansOfIndustry.com. That's kind of what I've been doing, is, like, it's a mastermind component, because that's really, really important. Like, I'm describing with, like, what happened in that Airbnb that night. But then there's also just getting somebody in your life that you can unload all of your thoughts to. Full permission to be full nerd. I mean, it does something, man. It's interesting what it does to your own ideas. I remember back, I don't know, sort of how juvenile I was. Shows how juvenile I was. I used to think that when you shared an idea.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
You were giving it away. And as cheesy as that is, I run into a lot of entrepreneurs that think that. If I tell you my idea, you have to promise to not take it. It's like, I always laugh when someone says that to me, because it's like, first off, if I just drop my entire business because of a sentence someone says to me, that means I wasn't very committed to my thing. So I always laugh at that. I was like, it's kind of like when someone says to me, I have an opportunity for you. I'm like, I have an opportunity. That's why I'm not going to take yours. Like, it's such a funny thing to say. I have an opportunity for you. No, you don't even know what it is. I don't care. I'm running my plan, right? It's the same thing when someone, I got a guy blowing me up on my DMs right now about this. He's just like pitching me everything. I'm like, shut up. It already was a no, and now I'm going to get angry. Like, no, right? If you get to a million by saying no to almost everything, you're one of my tests. No, the answer is no. I don't want it. I don't want your opportunity. I built my own. That's why I have a company, right? Anyway, that always cracks me up. Like, sit in my seat for a second. You know how many times someone says that to me every week? If what you're really asking is for my opinion on something, then hit me in that angle. Be like, Steve, can I sit with you for half a day? I used to do full days, and I still will, but I've just noticed that I just end up nuking brains. Like, half a day is plenty. It's the right balance between new ideas mixed with the ability to execute. When I go a full day with someone, like, I used to go like 12, 13 hours with someone, they're jelly by the end. Like, they barely remember, like, I'm just bringing them so far into their vision and, once I see their vision, I'm like, okay, here we go. And it's too much. So half a day. Anyway, it's the same thing though with the ideas. Hey, I'm going to go drop these ideas on you, but you can't steal it. I'm not going to steal your idea. You understand? Like, that's what people pay me for, is to dump all of their ideas on me. And then I go organize the thing and then hand it back to them. Like, that's what I do with quarterly planning with people. But the point I'm trying to make in this episode is the value of having that in your life. The value of having that in your life. I remember back when I was the only person that I even knew of in my entire life, my circle, my extended circle, you know, anyone who actually knew what a funnel even was. The only other person I knew of in my life who wasn't really in my life was Russell. I was in college. No one knew what I was doing. No one knew what I was studying. No one understood. I was weird in the Army, man. I was sneaking in finance books into trainings and getting yelled at for it, while everyone else was sneaking in, you know, other things. It's like, and they weren't getting yelled at for it. I was like, what? How are you going to yell at me for reading a finance? Anyway. Anyway. But I would say at that moment in my life, the thing that mattered most to me is having somebody else somewhere that I could ping pong my ideas off of, that I could mentally volley with, right? And that's actually what shocked me so much when I went to my first Funnel Hacking Live and I traded funnels for plane tickets and funnels for hotel nights. And I was like, when I bartered my way to that first Funnel Hacking Live, I remember I walked in, it's 2016. I walked in and I looked around and I was like, there are more of us? I mean, I really didn't know that. You know, I saw the numbers, like, this is how many people were in the Facebook group. This is how many users are using ClickFunnels. But I didn't met anybody. I was the only guy I knew of. My growth, the acceleration, you know, if you really do become the average of the five people around you, it is an uphill battle both ways, in a monsoon, in a hurricane, when you are the only person in your circle and in your life, and the only person that you hang around with who has forward-thinking ideas. Get around those people. You know, it's funny. I used to make fun of masterminds. It's like, who would pay money to like sit in a group and just listen to people talk? I would, because it's the number one form of education for me right now. It's the number one form of expanding vision, validating vision. I told this to Marley a couple of years ago. I can't remember why I was in ClickFunnels office again. I was dropping something off, or I don't know, Russell and I were doing something, and I came back and she's like, how'd it go? I was like, good. You know, every time I hang around Russell, my vision is expanded and validated. And she goes, yeah, you say that pretty much every time you leave just talking with him. I was like, yeah, it's amazing. You know, and you forget, when I left working there, in fact, that was the hardest part, was not having that anymore. And I remember, it's about 2 years after I'd left my job. So it's like, maybe not even that long. I can't remember what we were doing. This time I was at Russell's house. We were hanging out one night and I was going to go drop something off, but we ended up talking for 7 hours just about marketing, sitting on his home office floor in front of his computer, and he'd reach up at his desk and like click a new video and we watch it for a second and then we'd talk about how cool it was. Like, you know, and for 7 hours, we went so late. You know, I think I got there at like 7 and I left at 2 a.m. or something. But I remember at that moment, that's when he said, and that's when I also recognized, he's like, I miss this with you. He's like, this is what I miss. This is what I miss, having someone to volley and ping pong off with. And you know, then he's like, there's just certain people, I just can't do, there's nobody. He's like, I can't do this with anybody else, you know, at work. And I was like, I can't either, man. Like, I miss it. And the amount of ideas and sharing and expansion, like, think about, like, you should read a lot of books, right? Read a lot of books. You want to be smart, read a lot of books. Elon Musk, I heard for a while, read 2 books a day. He literally built SpaceX by reading books. And this is like documented. And which is crazy, by reading books. There is a different form of education, though, that comes with challenging ideas and another person healthily challenging the idea and expanding it from their viewpoint. When you start putting a group of people in a room that have diverse backgrounds, like, think about how powerful that is. One of my design classes in college, it wasn't design in terms of like making things look pretty. It was a process called design thinking. Design thinking is very different than design. I am a design thinker more than a designer. And it's a discipline that I was trained in college with a very rare class that I don't even know if they do. Anyway, so it's called design thinking. And which is it's a discipline of taking in legitimate hardcore problems, and it's a process that you use to ideate solutions, test them, get it in front of the public, and you use the customer to create the solution. You don't go try to build it in a cave. That's what my discipline is in. When someone says, what do you do? Internet marketing. I'm an entrepreneur. Those are just the areas I apply it in. But that's really what I do as a human being. That's why people like Russell and others are like, hey, could you just come sit next to me, brain dump tons and tons. And then you sort it, because that's like part of your gift. And I was like, yeah, totally. So I recognize I talked about myself a bunch this episode. The whole point I'm trying to make with this is to not underestimate the power of being around other people who are also trying to do at least do something in their life. Like, take a stock of the people you're hanging around with. I'm not saying you got to go be enemies with them if they're not the right fit or don't have like a future focused mentality, but also recognize what you, the opportunity cost of what you might be giving up because you're not, right? That's why people join masterminds. What am I going to learn in this mastermind? It's always funny if someone asks that, because I'm like, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to bring you in and do with you. But as you interact with other people who are also trying to do something, who are also in a similar discipline, who also have 24 hours in a day and try things that are different than you, but for the same purpose and outcome and intent, your brain is about to skip time. Right? I'm not going to say that you shouldn't go read a million books. You should. But think about how you're going to be able to shortcut the time it takes to get certain forms of epiphanies. Like, think about, I love this idea. I was thinking about several years ago, I got really obsessed with the time to epiphany, like the distance to epiphany, that there is different forms of education, right, that allow for different epiphanies. The time, the distance to epiphany when watching something, not always, right? And I mean singular epiphany, not like a whole comprehensive plan. I think that books can be really good for that as well. But not all education is created equally, and not all education has the same speed, right? Not all epiphanies are coupled with the same speed. So you like think about a book. Sometimes books can be slow versus me just going to the author and saying, how much money do you want? Oh, 30 grand. And then instead of reading that book, I'm going to get it in, you know, half a day with you. And not only get it, you're going to customize it to me. You know what I mean? Like, when you start thinking about it like that, like, this might be worth it for me just to go drop a little bit of money, right? At some point, time becomes more valuable than money. And to certain people who are like, right, this is why success begets success. Success creates additional success. And anyway, I'm at my office. And why it's so important to be hanging around other people who can share ideas, push back on you in a healthy way, you know, help you see other things. And when masterminds don't work is when somebody shows up and they're like, they're trying to be the bee's knees. You know what I mean? They're like not teachable. They're not there to learn. They're not there to share. They're not there to understand. They're there to flex. I hate that. I hate that. Oh man. In fact, I start my mastermind out every time with some kind of speech on that. Like, don't do that. You want to know what wrong looks like? That. All right. That's what wrong looks like. Anyway. Alrighty. Well, today I have spent a couple hours with a business partner. Oh, we're building funnels for people again, by the way. It's been super fun. I just haven't publicly announced it because the moment I like just even kind of hinted at it, we got more. I mean, I'm a funnel builder after all, right? We got more people who were just like swooping in than we could handle even. So anyway, doing it with a business partner right now. So I'm meeting with him for a couple hours, and then I hired a content guy. So I know I've been a little bit quiet, just figuring out my new strategy and direction, but that era is over, and we're going to be pumping out daily content soon. So filming for half a day with him. And then I've got a guy who wants me to be his fractional CMO. Huge, huge accounting firm in Utah. So they're like, we don't need you to build anything. Just again, he said, we don't need you to build anything. We need you to come up with a strategy and we'll go build it. He's like, we just don't have your eyes. So, and I was like, it's interesting what this next tier up in business is really interested in. They don't want to be solely shouldering the entire burden of strategy anymore. That's when someone's like, dude, we'll do it. I just don't want to be guessing. And I'm like, sweet. Well, nothing is 100%. However, we can massively mitigate risk by blah, 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 blah. And I would do this right here. Bam, bam, bam. And I'll help project manage it, but you guys go build it. And they're like, done, cherry. So anyway, got a fun day ahead of me. It's going to be great. And then Marley and I are working on our Rare Things podcast, which looks so good. So I got the first version back of the dramatic demonstration book. I got to tell you, I don't love it. So I have chosen to rewrite it. I was not planning this, but I'm probably going to do the thing where I get on there and I delete it, you know. The topics are fantastic. I just don't like how it reads is all. So I'm going to, you know, rewrite it. Awesome. Hey, you guys are great. Thanks so much for listening. And try to find people you either earn to be around or pay to be around that'll expand your vision. It's one of the greatest shortcuts. Bye.